Point of View, Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
So this is really a devastating story. Apparently, a Limpopo Initiation School has been shut down after a six-year-old passed away. On the line with us is MEC of COCTA in Limpopo, Pasikopu Makumu, who is on the line with us this evening. Thank you so much, Mr. Makumu and Makamu. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening.
Evening, Pamela. Evening to the listeners of KFM.
Tata Makamu, what happened here?
Well, first we must pass our condolences to the family of Manete, more especially on behalf of the Premier of the province, that when we had the invitation to take young boys through the passage to be manhood, we lost life of a young man who went there knowing that he would come back. We are still going through two processes to get to the bottom of the problem. The investigation, I may tell you now that an inquest document has been opened that we are investigating. But from the preliminary investigation that we got is that the boy had some underlying conditions when he went to the initiation schools. But it's a matter that I'm not speaking with authorities. The preliminary by the officials of the department who are being monitoring in the process. But as to what could be the cause, we'll still follow the normal process and get that. But like I said, when we did our briefing, that we are going to make sure. And I must say that the boy lost life in a legal school. So it's a school that has got a permit that has been authorized by us as a department. We are in contact with the Hoshi there, but we have closed this initiation school to curb any recurrence, because we said we have got a zero tolerance for any loss of life during our initiation schools.
So this is a school which has been given a license to operate, and yet it takes a boy. So let's, as you said, we cannot confirm the details of whether this is because of an underlying condition or not. But what we know is that for a fact, the boy is six. And according to the law, no initiation school should be taking anybody under the age of 12. Am I wrong?
You are very correct, Pamela. Let me also correct that my initial investigation was saying six, but now the accurate information is that it's eight, which is still under the age of 12. It's a matter that's why I said I have made sure that I speak to Major General to want to check whether the case has been opened, and I realize it has been opened. To investigate, we have done that. The other thing from our preliminary investigation is that the parents did not sign consent form for this specific case, and I wonder why. Maybe other people thought what we are talking about. But it's a matter that we are going to make sure that every parent, and I always say, and thanks for this opportunity on air, that I still repeat that we don't expect parents to go and force, for whatever reason, to take children who are under age. What I have learned out of experience, Pamela, is that parents are the ones who sometimes go and force their way to the traditional surgeon and the traditional leadership to say, no, we are requesting you to take our child. That is how we take them as a family at this age. We don't necessarily require that. And this senior traditional leadership and the traditional surgeons, they fall into the pressure of family and accept, which I always, and even today I had an opportunity to be speaking to some senior traditional leaders in the province to say, I'm not going to say you were forced. You will be there wrong, because the permit is issued to a senior traditional leader, not necessarily to a parent who will do that. So the person who will take responsibility in this case, first, it will be the senior traditional leader who would have accepted or admitted an underage child, but will not leave the parent who has forced a way to make sure that they take underage children.
So, in a case like this, I want to first of all try and understand the processes of giving someone a permit, because if the argument is that the parents have forced, and I know that's not your argument, but if the school head says that the parents came here and forced me to take the child, how do you monitor these schools? How do you, number one, assess whether someone is worthy of getting the permit, and how do you monitor the schools?
Look, we have, in terms of the new act, we have established what we call the Provincial Initiatives Coordinating Committee, which is appointed by the Premier. It has got members from my department, it has got members from Health Department, it has got senior traditional leadership, it has got members from the South African Police Agency. We appoint people all over the schools and assign people to different initiation schools to say, it's your responsibility, go and monitor. Of course, we don't attach one because there will be many, and it's worse this year, I must accept, because of the 2 years that we jumped because of the coronavirus. Mm. The numbers are so high. The interest is so high. Even the initiation schools in the whole province, if I were to combine both the female and the male, we have got more than 700 of them. So we have not had those numbers. So we may not even have all the people that will monitor and station in one. But even myself, as I'm talking to you, I have got a program that I will be visiting schools myself and make sure that I rein on everybody who is a deployee of department who might be conniving either with senior traditional leadership or traditional study or with parents, just to remind them to say our responsibility is not to fall under pressure. If they put you under pressure, they'll call me so that it will be me who will be under pressure to accept something which is wrong and see if that will happen.
Okay. You are saying that the school has been shut down. You're not saying anything about anybody being held to for questioning. You're not. So what we've been hearing, both from Contralesa and COCTA, very proactively, I might add, this year, I really have to admit this, that over the past couple of months, you've been urging everybody to be responsible. I've been hearing that. I'm the first to admit that. We are now here. A six-year-old, or maybe now we can revise it to an eight-year-old boy, has passed away. And all I'm told is that the school has been shut down. Nobody's been arrested. Nobody is taking accountability.
Pamela, I have said it, that I'm speaking with authority that inquest docket has been opened.
For who?
And the investigations are underway.
Yeah, let's start here. The process of let's say this was an incident that happened to someone's house. Someone in a house is dead. A police arrives at the scene. The police will probably immediately do and apprehend those who may have been there or ask them some questions or something. I'm not sure if I'm hearing who are you asking what of?
I hear your question very well, and I in a position to want to understand what you want me to answer. And I thought I should not necessarily be jumping the investigations. Let me give an example
example. Let me ask you much more directly. Who in this case would you regard to be the suspect? The parents or the school or both?
In my initial, I said that the child is said to be having an underlying condition.
Yeah, but the child is eight. It doesn't matter. The child is eight. It doesn't matter. The contravention of the law begins with the fact that a child who's eight was not supposed to be there anyway, even if he was fully healthy.
Yes. So anybody who have done and accepted somebody who was not supposed to be there will be held responsible.
Okay. Who are you investigating? I'm asking again. The reason I'm pushing you on this is
the traditional surgeon will be a point of reference. Of course, they will have to, because when we give a senior traditional leader a permit, we also be attaching a traditional surgeon that will be doing that. Caregivers will also be doing that.
Okay. So the school has now been closed, and what next? Where are we next? What does this mean for the family? What does this mean for the community in Limpopo?
I think we should know. I think the family, like I said, I offer the condolences.
Mm-hmm.
We should be given support. I think there is a way of doing it when it happens this way, and I'm not necessarily privileged to want to. I know we are now in a space that we should talk about these things, but the senior traditional leader know what is it that they should be able, how it should be done in the family. During my time when I will go, I just want to share with you, it will happen in this case. The family will not know, me and you will not know, will only know once the initiation schools will have closed for the last day. That's where parents will know. But the way we are living now and the things which are done, but we are busy managing it in a manner that the family should be comforted under the circumstances.
So where is Contralisa at this point?
Where is
Contralisa?
Look, Pamela, Contralisa is a body which is established to support traditional leadership. But what I work for, I work with the House of Traditional Leaders in the province. And there were lapses of the House of Traditional Leaders, but I have appointed an advisory team of senior traditional leadership to advise me on issues of initiations as we speak. I will be meeting with them as well on Friday morning before I visit some of the initiation schools, because I will want them to advise in some of the things with senior traditional leaders, because when they talk as senior traditional leadership, they can even better than when they speak to me. But I do have the response premier to make sure that whatever has to be done with initiation schools, I attend to them.
It's just interesting to me that suddenly they're kind of nowhere to be found, when there was a lot of PR around, no, we are talking to schools, we're getting ready, they were very available, they were telling us what needs to happen, and suddenly a tragedy like this happens, you don't have many answers for me, Contralisa is suddenly not available. I'm struck by that.
Well, you will know by the nature of people that people will want to speak a lot, because in some instances it will be their members. Even the House of Traditional Leadership, I met with them today, I had a meeting with them today, and I said, some of these things are your members. Why are you not condemning such things? You keep quiet when a small child. I gave an example by the former chair. We were together. I found underage, and I asked Khoshi, why are you doing this?
Well, why don't you tell us Khoshi Mang-o? Which Khoshi is that?
Well, it was not this year. I have not gone to initiation schools. I will talk to you. You can call me or arrange the same way you did to give you a feedback. I will have visited initiation schools. In fact, let me confirm to you,
mm-hmm.
even the ones in Mijaji, I will be visiting them by Friday.
All right.
So you can still have...
We'll hold you to it. No problem. We've got a lot of time. We will hold you to it. We will follow up on this, because what we cannot afford is to see another boy not returning back home from an initiation school. So we will. I promise you we will look and keep fighting to make sure that we get the answers. Ndata Sifudi, thank you so much for calling. Good evening.
Good man. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
This doesn't wash, really, and all the condolences and marinating this issue won't bring the small child back. And these so-called traditional educators, they are, most of them are charlatans, you know, and they are so unethical. It's a money issue, Pimelo. This issue, this institution has been capitalized. It's now all about money. That's why it becomes so unethical. You take a real minor. What are you doing to the minor? Now you come here and tell us about underlying conditions. Does it justify for the child to die because she had underlying conditions? In the first place, why did you take this child without having done all due diligence? And the child, you know, has got underlying conditions. You ought to to be careful. You ought to take care. And these traditional leaders, they are just there to earn money, Pimelo, because they are supposed to be the custodian of this institution and play an oversight role. Right now, they are not playing an oversight role. They are just reactionary. That's why you can't find them anywhere.
Yes, sir. Okay, your line is failing. I think that is a foodie. We'll have to leave it there. Joel, you're in Mamelodi. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay. Condolences to the family that has lost a boy at a tender age. But equally, that I think as Africans, as much as we want to subscribe to our cultural beliefs, but it shouldn't be, and I don't think that there is any cultural belief or a religious activity or event that must ever be undertaken that would compromise even a single life. Now, two is that I think one or the other, it is a warning that all of us should be able to share with them, to all parents, that the societal pressure in us being culturally upright should not happen at the expense of our own children's lives. I mean, I cannot think why would an institution such as a initiation school accept a child of 6 years of age like into its initiation practice, because ordinarily it's supposed to be anybody of an age about 12 years or so who should be going into initiation school. Now, what this does, and I think it's a conversation that we must begin to have as a people, that there are stages in which we as human beings would ordinarily have to go through. You are a fetus whilst in your mother's womb. You are given birth to as a baby. Then you naturally progress into being a baby, a child, and then from there you become a teenager. From a teenager you become a young person. Then you move into being a young adult. Adulthood, then a senior stage. Now, when a child is 6 years, and then parents, out of cultural belief, they are pressurized to have their kid mature, even when they are still tender. I think that is something that provokes us as a nation to have a conversation about. One, a 6-year-old, even a 12-year-old, doesn't have to go to a stage of going into an initiation school, because they would not have gone through the stages of being children enjoying that particular stage, because you would know that the creativity of kids when they are still exceptionally young, their creativity levels are over 80 or 90%, but as they grow older, owing to restrictions in society, their creativity levels drop at a phenomenal rate.
Jerry, you're calling from Letlhabile. Hi. Hello, Jerry.
My sister, evening, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Jerry?
I'm fine, thank you, my sister. Aish, under the conditions, under the circumstances, somebody might try to say we are fine, but we are not.
No, we're not.
You know, my sister, the condition of an infant or of a child is an obvious condition that that particular human being is still an infant.
Yes.
Is not an adult.
Yes.
So when somebody saying there were underlying conditions, it's an obvious reason. I mean, it's a no-brainer to understand that a child cannot be taken to such a very dangerous conditions like that. I mean, a very dangerous initiative like that. It cannot happen. But the simple question that we should ask ourselves, and maybe it might be an obvious answer to our society today, that all of those facilities to keep children busy are no longer there. Now, to a poor parent who's actually taking care of a child, I mean, living with poverty in your household, absent fathers, absent families, no schooling, no food, nothing. I mean, you ask yourself a question that what prompted the mother or the father or the parent of that particular child, I mean, to actually take that child to such an initiative. I mean, a child cannot go for an initiative school. There is nothing like that. I mean, you cannot initiate a child. I mean, what are you initiating on a child? I mean, it's straightforward that it's just an attempted murder or murder on itself. I mean, you cannot take a child to an initiative school. I mean, that doesn't make sense at all. But the thing is that in an absence of government, the leadership that are always absent-minded, that are always, I mean, reactionary, we will find ourselves in a situation like this. But myself, I'm asking the question.
Jerry?
Sorry, Jerry.
Keep the child away from. Jerry. We lost you there at some point. You said yourself, you're asking the question, and that's where we lost you.
Yes, I'm asking myself the question that it might be the issues of poverty from home, the mother not being able to take care of their children, and they end up actually taking them away for them to be safe, to be taken care somewhere else, but not knowing what could happen or what might happen. Because in most cases, we have seen it happening in our own areas, that these people are misleading the parents while actually they are mobilizing for children to be taken in this useless initiation school. But I think the government must actually do away with the initiation schools. They are no longer useful for us. They are killing our people. Now the government must actually take leadership, because I know that the issue of political will is a serious question. It's a serious problem in this country, but I think it must be done away with. It does not help us with anything. This is a pure murder, and if we allow something like this to happen, it is happening elsewhere in the country, and they are not being reported. I mean, in countries, I mean, in provinces like KZN, these things are happening on daily basis, but they are not being reported because of we've got far-flung areas that media is not being able to reach those particular areas. But I can tell you that they are happening elsewhere. The question is, where is the government? Where is the lawmakers? Why the Constitution, Chapter 12 of the Constitution, does not actually say much about these traditional leaders or traditional houses? Does not say much about it. Hence, the African indigenous law, it is not, I mean, formally regulated. I mean, you had the case of traditional leaders killing people, I mean, holding people hostage. Nothing is happening on that because of we don't have the law dealing with these issues particularly.
Yeah.
We must cancel and abolish this issue of initiation schools in our areas. It does not help. It does not give anybody education. What is the reason for us to have this? Why should we have initiation schools in our areas? Initiation school does not help us.
Let me open it to the floor, Jerry, and see if everybody agrees with you. Is it time to do away with initiation schools? I don't know. I don't think everybody will agree with you on that one, Jerry. But let me hear from Selby. Selby, you're in Orange Farm High.
Hi, Pamela. How are you?
I am fine, Selby. How are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure. Yeah. Now, Pamela, I can't say we must do away with initiation schools. We must do away with these people who run initiation schools like business. At this point in time, many people who are running initiation schools, they are now using it like business. They are using it for their gain, no more for the culture as it was before. Now, it must return back to be a culture, not a business. Then it is going to go well. We can't say it must be cancelled, but those people who use it as a business, those are the people who must be stopped from running these initiation schools.
But, you know, I'm sure you heard the conversation with the MEC of Limpopo, Copta in Limpopo. What did you make of what you were hearing?
I didn't hear it because I was out of electricity.
Okay. No, I understand. I understand. Yeah, Selby, you know, the question for me is they say that this school had a permit, and yet this person who took in this child knew that the child is under 12. I don't understand it.
No, it's because they are, those people are running businesses. They are running initiation schools like businesses. Initiation schools better be taken back to the hands of the royals, of the kings. No more independent initiation schools.
Yeah. No, you make a very good look, Selby. Thank you so much for your take there, Selby in Orange Farm. Yeah, I mean, this is something we need to ask ourselves, some really tough questions. 086-000-959. Let me go quickly to Lerato, who is calling from Togoza. Lerato, good evening and welcome to Point of View.
Good evening. I'm the listener.
Hi.
And the guy was speaking on behalf of the government, not touching just
the MEC.
The police, they are, it's nonsense. I want you to hear this very well.
Mm.
There's only one way to get who's to the bottom line with this. Who took the child into the initiation school? Who took the child into family? I know the child is a minor. The child must be arrested.
Mm.
At the initiation school, the person who received the child, because you can differentiate between an 8-year-old and a 14-year-old or 15-year-old.
Absolutely.
The person who received the child must be arrested.
Absolutely.
The parents of the child for allowing this to happen,
correct,
they must also be arrested.
Correct.
And if the child has been initiated, the person who initiated the child also must be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So it's around there.
Mm.
So they can't tell us they don't have a suspect.
Mm.
And this initiation schools needs to be shut down now, because all of them, they pretend that no, they're doing this in good faith. We all know now they're not doing it in good faith. Kids are dying. Innocent children are dying out there. We cannot allow this to continue to happen. And then people will come and say it's politicians. Politicians, because the very same traditional leaders, they come and do it against the government or the politicians. So the politicians sometimes are caught between a hard place and a rock. But the bottom line is, in terms of investigation, there's no way that this guy can come and say there's no one who has been arrested. Yes. They must be able to arrest someone.
Yep.
This one is very clear.
Fully agree with you, Lerato, there. I couldn't add more to that. I fully agree with you. At this point, somebody should have been arrested, and then we can deal with the matter in court. Thank you very much for that call, Lerato, in Togoza.
Point of View. Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.